Hi, I'm Sima Shapiro, the host of the new Contemporary Lifestyle Radio Show for women over 40, featuring everything about your health, wealth, children, happiness, and anything else of interest to you, the listener. Please stay tuned. Hi, I'm Sima Shapiro, your host of For Women Over 40. Today we'll be discussing children who live with grandparents. I'll be joined by Karen O'Sara, a facilitator for her local group, Grandparents Raising Grandchildren, and Gail Byrne, a grandmother raising her granddaughter, and an author whose experience led her to write a book on this very subject. Karen O'Sara is the Parks and Recreation Director for her local town and the 11-year facilitator for the Grandparents Raising Grandchildren Support Group. In that role, she presides over monthly meetings with guest speakers intended to inform and educate the kin in these kinship families. She provides resources for the grandparents in the areas of social services, the legal system, educational, and health. While not a grandparent herself, she is passionate about this group and her role at helping make their lives a little easier. Grandmother Gail Byrne is often called Jazzy's Noni, a children's librarian. You can catch her most days singing and dancing and, of course, reading, or running like a wild stallion in her backyard with her granddaughter and their slobbery dog, Buddy. These two lucky girls live happily with Jazzy's Poppy in the little red house on the bumpiest road in her state. So welcome, Karen and Gail.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much. We're happy to be here.
I want to talk about the recently released data from the American Community Survey showing that grandparents in 2.7 million households are living with their grandchildren, and more than 1.7 million, that's 38%, have primary responsibility for their grandchildren. This survey points out that among the caregiving grandparents, 36% are 60 or older, and 23% live below the poverty line. Can either of you address the issue of the poverty line? Is this a real statistic as far as you're concerned?
This is Gail. I'll take a second to address that. What I would say is the statistics are probably a little bit on the low side because there are grand families who are not even part of the statistics. They're not reflected in that number at all because they're not on the grid. They don't receive social services and they're not in the system, quote unquote. A lot of times the grandparents intervene and come to the rescue of these children before the state or social services come into the children's lives. So I would say that that probably is on the low side as far as the numbers that represent grand families.
I see. So tell me a little bit about your own personal journey to sole caretaker of your grandchild.
Well, our journey is a little bit unique and yet not unique. Unique in the fact that my husband and I are not typical of the grandparents that are coming into stepping up and taking care of their grandchildren. We're a little bit on the younger side. We're healthy and still working. A lot of the grandparents that step up are not in that situation. They don't have the advantages of being healthy or on the younger side. A lot of them are elderly. They're on fixed incomes and going into very vulnerable years where their health is not always the best. Certainly their earning potential is not ahead of them. It's in back of them and they're on fixed incomes. So my husband and I are a little bit outside the norm, but how we are inside the normal grand family is that we came into this very unexpectedly. Not a lot of these grandparents have advance notice. When you have your own children, you have usually 9 months to get prepared for parenthood. Not so with these grand families. A lot of times it's a phone call in the middle of the night or a child is just left, gee, could you watch while I go wherever, to the store, to my job, and then they become the sole caretakers. The parents, for whatever reason, do not come back and take on the responsibility of their own child. So what I would say is we were typical in that respect. It was not something that we anticipated, but when we found ourselves in the position that we could take care of our grandchild and make such a huge difference in her life, we gladly stepped up. And that's what I would say if I could have one message that would get across today. I have never met a grandparent who regretted taking this step. It's a huge step, and it is for more than just the 18 years that that child might possibly be with you. But I have yet to meet a grandparent who has regretted that decision. More than likely, they realize that they have made such a huge difference in this child's life.
And as an outsider looking in on that, you can see every time that Gail talks about her granddaughter and that she talks about her husband and her new family and the new dynamics in this stage in her life, you can see the joy in her face, and you can see that this next phase of her life is so wonderful. And that, I would say, goes across the board for all of our grandparents. They just look and just realize how blessed they are to have this second opportunity.
So, Gail, I'm still struck by your words, and I want to go back to this again. You're indicating that grandparents are happy to be taking in their grandkids, but in truth, I know so many people who are heading toward retirement or are just in retirement who have been waiting a lifetime to not have children, to not have an ancillary responsibility, and yet you're telling me that for so many people that you know, the response is different. Can you address this one more time?
Well, I think that's the actual reality of grand families or grandparents that are raising the grandchildren. You're talking about one of the basic challenges that we find ourselves in, because we did raise our family and we've gone through all of the diapers and all of the curfews with teenagers and waiting up for those teenagers to come home at night. And we've lived through all of that thinking that the golden years would be somewhat different and a little bit more relaxed and a little bit less responsibility. And suddenly we find that that ideal is not going to be for us. So there's so many complex emotions that run with the grand families, because you find yourself all of a sudden, you know, you're shopping for those diapers again. You're looking for the cribs. You're looking at bunk beds. You're teaching children to drive again, and all of the angst that goes along with those teenage years. You're living through that again, and you're a generation removed. So you find that the peers that are part of your daily life, the families that are sitting next to you on the bleachers at that baseball and softball game, they are your children's age. You are a whole generation removed from the other families that are there. So there's a lot of situations that make it difficult, but on the whole, I would say they are far minimized when it comes to the advantages. I always say that when my child goes to sleep at night, she's right down the hall, and I just know that she's safe. And she's with us. And that makes all the difference in the world. It puts it in perspective. I don't mind learning those multiplication tables once again and the state capitals once again and learning what Common Core is. And these are all things that I certainly would not be doing with my husband, going to teacher conferences. And we would probably be maybe going out for a cup of coffee at night in a stroll instead of thinking, okay, we've got that science project that's due at the end of the week. But all that, putting it in perspective, we know that we are making such a difference in this child's life. And when I use the word rescue, it's not just for a dramatic effect. These grandparents are rescuing these children that would normally be put into a foster care system that already is in such financial states. We would definitely be breaking the system if all of the kinship children were then put into the foster care system. So when you know that you're making such a monumental change in a child's life, it minimizes the other inconveniences. Not to say that they're not huge. There's huge financial problems. There's huge legal problems. A lot of these children come to the grandparent without adequate prenatal care. So there's lots of physical, emotional, psychological problems that the grandparents are dealing with that might not have been the case with their own children when they were bringing up their own children. So I think that has to be stressed too, that the grandparents really need a little bit of assistance financially. The social system has to come up to the reality of what these grandparents are dealing with also. The legal system has to come up to the reality of what these grandparents are living day to day. It's quite complex, and it's very, very layered. So much different than the foster care situation, where that element of maybe emotional tie to the birth parents isn't there. It's one of the differences between kinship care and foster care.
We're talking today to two women who are involved with grandparents raising grandchildren. We're speaking with a grandmother at the moment, Gail Byrne. Gail, one more question before we move forward. With any family entering parenthood, there's always the element of strife between the spouses. There's always the element of other friends stepping sideways who do not have children or who do not have a spouse. And I'm wondering what kind of dynamics having your grandchild impacted on your marriage, and what did it do with your family and friends?
Well, that's a wonderful point to bring up, because we see that in our support groups where grandparents and other kin get together and discuss the issues that are involved in this. You have to realize that, like I said, my peers now for the majority of our day are the younger families that are sitting on the bleachers with me or up at the field as we watch a soccer game. My peers are this younger generation that are so far removed from my age bracket. Friends and family, they're wonderfully supportive, but unless they really are living the life of a grand family, they really don't know the different challenges. Sometimes it's difficult for my husband and I just to shake ourselves loose and go for, like I said, that cup of coffee, or never mind other things that people that we grew up with that are in our age bracket are doing. Like I said, if we have a science project that's due at the end of the week, that's what we're helping our grandchild with. We're doing homework. We're running to the CCD classes and the class that is for remedial reading or whatever, the doctor appointment. And a lot of times people in my age bracket, my so-called peers, aren't doing those things. So we don't have that in common. It can be very lonely and very isolating. And that's one of the problems that the grand families face. You somehow lose your peer group. And I think that, again, that's one thing that my husband and I might be a little bit luckier in. We have a great support group. And if I need help, I can go to a family member or a friend and say, you know, I'm looking at a week where I'm working and my granddaughter has off. Do you think for Wednesday afternoon you can just maybe take her and bake at your house, or maybe teach her how to knit? Or there's a wonderful program over at the state park. Can you go over there with her? So I reach out quite frequently. And I think that's what we have to realize, is that we cannot do it alone. It really does take a village. And you reach out and you try to get the support wherever you can.
Karen, as the facilitator for the Grandparents Raising Grandchildren Support Group, do you have, first of all, any other stats to offer me with regard to this phenomenon, if I can call it that?
I have a few. To the best of my knowledge, about 20% or so of our grandparents raising families are living in poverty across the country. I think that people forget that it is straight across the board, all sorts of social and economic categories and groups that find themselves raising their grandchildren from lots of reasons. We have one grandparent in our group. Her daughter actually died through childbirth, and she brought her daughter home, her granddaughter home from the hospital about 20 years ago, and she never knew her mom. She only ever knew her grandmother, and that was something that her grandmother wasn't expecting. She went in with her daughter, birth of a first grandchild, so her life changed, and she raised her granddaughter. You have parents who maybe get deployed and go into service, maybe both spouses. Now both parents can be deployed. It used to be only one could be deployed at a time, and now they both can be deployed, so that falls back on grandparents. Maybe we have parents that are too young, maybe had children at too young of an age and didn't realize maybe when their child was 2 or 3 years old, what was involved in raising a child, so they find kin or grandparents to help them. You have parents that could be incarcerated or just have mental and health disabilities. We have had in our group, ironically, we've had two great grandmothers raising their grandchildren. One was, I would say, early 80s, and her grandson was about 3. It was a challenge. I do believe now that they've been reunited with her daughter. Her daughter's in about her 60s, and she's helping raise her grandchild, so that the great-grandmother and the grandmother are raising him, and I would say he's probably about 6 or 7 now. And we had another lady whose daughter was in a car accident and had traumatic brain injury. That was something that wasn't expected at all. And her daughter actually had a learning disability and then had a child. So her daughter was physically incapable of taking care of her children, and then her granddaughter had a learning disability and couldn't. So she was raising her great-grandchild as well. And We forget that someone in their 80s could be raising a 3- and 4-year-old. That's a real challenge for families. We, you know, that there's a whole other generation that's doing that as well. And another thing that I thought about while Gail was speaking, we have a few families where, let's just use Gail hypothetically, though this is not her scenario. Let's say that her daughter had her granddaughter, and Gail and her husband are raising her, and now her daughter has other children. And it's 10 years later, and maybe she's a little bit more prepared to raise another, you know, other children. So now Gail is raising her granddaughter, and she's like, well, wait a minute. Why do I live with you? And, you know, why am I living with my grandparents, but my mom has chosen to live with, she's raising the other two children? And we have several families in that scenario, and that's a very difficult thing, too. Where do I belong? Am I my mother's son? Do I belong with that family? Why am I not living with them? Why am I living with my grandparents? And I think for a lot of children, I would say for probably all of them, they're better off living with their grandparents, but they may not even realize that.
Before we move forward about some of the other factors you're discussing, I'm wondering, is this on the rise in this country, and where do we sit in relation to other countries in taking in grandchildren?
I personally don't think that our country is any different than any other. I wouldn't say that we're raising more grandchildren, that we're raising less. I would say it's straight across the board, the same in any country. The only difference that I might see is some cultures, the whole family lives together in a house anyway. You might have grandparents and aunts and uncles in some cultures all living in one house where there was 10 or 15 people living in it. So they're being raised by grandparents living in the house anyway, so that would be the only difference that I could see. But straight across the board, any country and every social economic group is seeing grandparents raising their grandchildren.
I would just probably re-echo that sentiment that Karen has. Grandparents have always, through the ages, been absorbing grandchildren, and it is part cultural, and yet we now are hearing more of it, and I have a personal thought on that, and that's because as the baby boomers are aging and now becoming grandparents, we are of an age where we always believed that one voice made a difference, and so we always questioned things and looked into the why of certain things. So as we age and become grandparents and we see this happening around us, we're questioning it. Why is this population of parents, why are they not able to take care of their own children? Why are the grandparents now taking care of them? I'm thinking that because the baby boomers are aging and becoming the grandparents, they are now the ones that are questioning this phenomenon that's always been there, really. We question things. We ask the why of things. We look for the reasons. And like I said, we're of a generation that believed one voice could make a difference. And we think that maybe we are that voice bringing things to light.
So, Karen, tell me some of the factors that you find. Now, you gave me your individual stories of some of the people who have become grandparents, but I'm wondering what are some of the sociological factors contributing to this. And I'm also wondering, what are some of the, I can see obvious benefits, but maybe not so obvious benefits. And obviously, I'd like to know, what are some of the not so obvious negatives?
I would say probably one of the first things that I think would come to mind would be that a lot of parents, young parents, have mental disabilities or mental illness, and consequently have problems with drugs. I'm not sure, maybe they have problems with drugs, so then they're not mentally healthy to take care of their children, or vice versa, you know, but it has a lot to do with just not being mentally prepared to raise children. I would say all of the grandparents that we work with are much better off with their grandparents. Our grandparents are all, they're working, they have jobs, they have income, much wiser than their parents, and care and love their children and raise their own children. They want to continue to raise. They realize how important it is to give their children, their grandchildren, stable homes. The only negative thing that I've ever seen is that maybe around middle school age, some of the grandchildren start asking why. And I've actually had one grandmother say that her grandson is embarrassed when he comes to school and pick her up. She's older, she's arthritic, she walks with a cane, and that he'll be embarrassed and say, I don't want you to come get me. You know, maybe his peer's friend, her mother's only in their 30s, and she drives she drives a nice car. And then she comes up, and he's embarrassed by that. And she shared that with our group before. So I would say sometimes for the kids maybe feeling like they don't fit in, all of their friends live in a home with their parents, and he's the only one that lives in a home with a single grandmother. There's just him and a single grandmother. So I think sometimes it's harder for kids to feel as though that they're part of their, you know, their peer group.
And I'm also wondering a little bit about the benefits.
The benefits are that the grandparents are just so much more stable and provide a so much more stable home than what the children did. Just by being 20 years older, 25 years older, they're far more mature, they're more intelligent, they're more grounded, they are married, have a home, have cars, things that we forget that make life more stable for children. Maybe they have time to go to church, they have time to read books and stories with the kids, they have time to go to parent-teacher meetings because they've done it before, they're experienced, they're wiser, and they're stable and grounded, and they understand what it means to raise a child, where maybe the child's parent hasn't yet, they're too young or incapable of it.
For many people, extended families are an important aspect of growing up. And I'm wondering if the blurring of the lines, if grandparents are actually becoming parents, do children want to call them mother and father, mommy and daddy? Is there a blurring of the lines for this or a confusion?
I think straight across our group, most of our grandparents are called grandma and grandpa. I can't think of anybody that calls their parent mom or dad, or maybe they have a little bit of a poppy. I think we have a gentleman whose grandchildren call him poppy, which really could be the father or the grandfather. We have one lady who's actually German, and I know her granddaughters call her Oma, which is German. But I don't think any of them call their grandparents by that in German. They say grandma and grandpa, because they still do, don't forget, many of them still have to reference their mother and father. Is my mother coming, or what happened to, why don't I live with mommy? So they still have to have that correct title, that correct name.
Do you think it's confusing for the children at all?
I think that it can be confusing for children. I think maybe when they're younger, and they grow up. We have many different households that children live in nowadays, and if it's all you know, you would never question it. But then as maybe you get older and you get to middle school or high school, you realize that some of your friends have two mommies or two daddies. Some of your friends have a single mother, a single father. You have a friend whose parents have been married for 25 years, and I think you start to see all the different possibilities, and that includes being raised by your grandparents. One of our grandmothers, her granddaughter was adopted by the child's mother's sister, so now she's wondering, well, why do I live with my mother's sister? And maybe none of her friends have that. So there's so many different households now, so many different roles.
I think that's another point I'd like to mention about the rise of the non-traditional family.
Mm-hmm.
Gail, do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, I think the norm of mom and dad and 2.5 children is not the norm now. I think there are so many varied possibilities between the step and the single parent family that's out there. And like Karen said, as the children get a little bit older, they're able to see the variations and know that their family is somewhere in there. I don't think it's as confusing as we might think it is, because there is no right way and wrong way to do this thing called family. I think they're realizing, as we realize it and explain it to them, that it's the caring and the loving that make up a family, whether it's two moms, two dads, a single dad, the grandparents, an aunt or an uncle that's raising. And in some of the kinship, it's an older brother or sister that's taking the responsibility of the younger brother and sister. If the older is, say, 20 and 21, they're coming out of college and taking care of those younger siblings. So I think we're coming to the conclusion of what the emotion is that makes up a family, rather than the actual people in actual particular roles. I think we're trying to get away from of that stereotypical family.
Gail, it's obvious to me that you have a fair amount of passion around this subject. You also created the book, Sometimes It's Grandmas and Grandpas, Not Mommies and Daddies. I'm guessing this was inspired by your personal experience, but I'm also wondering, what are you hoping to accomplish by creating this book?
I came into actually writing the story because there was no story out there that I could read to my granddaughter. I always say it was inspired by her sitting in my lap as a two-year-old and knowing that she had a story that we couldn't find in any library or any bookstore. All of the stories we were reading had the stereotypical family, which was fading into something that is just not always out there these days. So I knew that as a children's librarian and as a writer, a lifelong writer, I knew that the emotions and the experiences that we were feeling, my granddaughter and I, could legitimize her lifestyle if I could get it down into a story. And so I did. And I did not know that it was going to resonate so much. I just thought it was our story and I was getting it out there. To have it published was a gift.
and then to have it in the hands of people who are also living this experience is a wonderful thing for us. Just last night when we were getting ready for bed, and now she's 12 years old, can we read our story, Nawny? Because we read out loud still before we go to bed. I'm a children's librarian. Naturally, I promote that kind of thing. And here she is, you know, can we read our story? So I bring out this children's picture book, and she knows that it validates the situation that not only we found ourselves in, but a lot of children find themselves in.
Karen, as a facilitator for the grandparents group, Grandparents Raising Grandchildren, I'm wondering what your final thoughts might be for the listener with regard to people taking their grandchildren on this great journey.
Well, one thing is that I look at the grandchildren of our grandparents in our group and realize how truly, truly lucky and blessed they are to have the phenomenal grandparents that they have. And I know Gail and her husband, and I couldn't imagine her granddaughter's life with anything else but Gail and her husband, that she's so wonderful, as I'm sure you can tell, and that they've taken on this role for their grandchildren and the children that they love to make sure that they have the absolute best that they can. And just to remember, one final thought is, what is a traditional family today? What does that exist in? And that it's no longer what we grew up with and what we thought of. And it's not even that they're non-traditional. It's just that it's become the standard. And that every child you meet, you never know who are they living with, what kind of family do they come from, and that we have wonderful grandparents taking care of their children. And the grandparents are keeping their family strong and going and keeping them connected so that they meet their first cousins and their aunts and uncles. They're within, they're still related by blood. They're still within that familial group where if they were in foster care or adopted by a non-kinship family, that wouldn't happen. Jazzy still meet, you know, her first cousins and her aunts and uncles and Gail's other children, and that wouldn't happen if I was raising her or you were raising her.
Sure. And Gail, what would you like to leave listeners with today?
Well, I would love to echo what Karen said so beautifully. What I would like to see, if it were a perfect world, is for everything to catch up with the realities of the way children are being brought today, the way families are being put together today, the legal system, the school system, the financial system, social services. We all are in a position where we can educate them and bring them along so that they can reflect, and the children that we have in our care can get benefit from all of the updating attitude that should be out there. I find that I love the idea of putting the story out there and educating people. We're changing verbiage. It's not parent-teacher conferences. You know, get the parent out of there. It's teacher conferences. Instead of saying, it's home for mommy and daddy to sign it, the teacher can say, can you bring this home and have the grown-up that you live with or someone in your family sign it? I love the idea that we're evolving and that my voice and my granddaughter's voice can be part of that evolution. Families are changing, and we have to realize, the legal system has to realize it, the social services, the educational system, and it's a glorious thing to be part of that enlightenment, I think.
We've been talking with two women today about children who live with grandparents. Karen Nocera is a facilitator for her local group, Grandparents Raising Grandchildren, and Gail Burns' book is Sometimes It's Grandmas and Grandpas, Not Mommies and Daddies. I really want to thank both of you for sharing this. Again, I hope we have opened up a window to the listener who is unaware of these types of non-traditional families.
Thank you so much for giving
Absolutely.
Us the opportunity.
Thank you for joining me. I'm Sema Shapiro, your host of For Women Over 40. And until next time, I hope you take care.